Welcome back to another edition of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I am your host, L. Ariel, and we can be found at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S, podcast.com. Hope everyone is doing great. We are also on all the streaming platforms. We're on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and Android. And for those of you that are listening to us on the iTunes podcast app, just a quick favor, if you can go ahead and give us a review, give us some stars, maybe five if you feel so generous or whatever feels comfortable. But I keep forgetting to ask, but it would be so great to get us some reviews and just bump us up a little bit in the rankings. That would be so awesome. Anyway, I hope everybody is doing great and you got a chance to listen to last week's podcast episode, which was with the one and only Kat Leone and Nick Perez of the band Holy Wars. It was a really powerful interview. Kind of raw at times. They talked about the genesis of their band Holy Wars and how it came about with the death of Kat's parents. It's just a really powerful, moving interview, and they talk about, you know, being in the industry and experiencing success and experiencing obstacles and, you know, what they've learned. And this latest album is just blowing up. They've already been included in the Huffington Post's Best of Music list in 2017, and it just keeps growing from there. So urge you to check out their music. Urge you to go check out that last podcast episode. I think you'll get a lot out of it. And now I'm excited to introduce our next guest, Curtis King. That's Curtis with two S's. He is a rap artist, a music producer, a beats maker, and an inspiration to thousands and thousands of people through his very popular YouTube channel, Curtis King TV. His production credits include Kendrick Lamar, who is just coming off his big Grammy win, Absol E40 Freeway. He has also worked with and toured with MERS. He knows the business and the industry, and he also knows how to start and grow a successful independent music career. In addition to his ever-exploding YouTube channel, he has a book called The Prosperous Hip-Hop Producer, and he, as a prolific beats maker, he has a very successful beats maker website, and you can purchase license for all crazy good beats at curtiskingbeats.com. I'm going to probably be hitting it up soon. He also is going to get you so pumped up because he's just got this laser focus and a real drive for his goals. And he also firmly believes in giving back and sharing the values that he's learned along the way. So let's fasten our seatbelts and prepare for takeoff with this track, Ghost.
Never been the type to run away from a problem. I always do my best to learn a lesson and solve it. But my energy been leaking from these blood-sucking leeches. Got me lacing up, my sneakers need a ratchet for the faucet. I don't wanna deal with all the politics, all the gossip and the garbage, I'm the opposite. I love a woman with some common sense and confidence. She ain't gotta be a model or a holly chick. Hey, Michael Jackson said, leave me alone. I feel the same way when it's just me in my zone. The dominoes came and I ain't answer the door. Tell that nigga that I'm vegan and his ass can go. Curtis, why you acting so selfish? Probably for the same reason.
Hey, Curtis, thank you for joining me on Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I'm so thrilled that you could be here with me today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me. I'm definitely honored by the invitation.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. So what I usually make my guests do is go back to their childhood and just tell me a little bit about, I just love to hear kind of about people's first exposure to music and how it affected them. You know, like, was there a lot of music in the household, that kind of thing?
Okay, well, you know, something that I tell people and they look at me kind of crazy is that I tell them that I had the great opportunity to grow up with divorced parents. Now, what I mean by that is that I had the opportunity to experience two very different tastes in music. Mm. So, you know, when I was growing up, my pops were listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and, you know, he would listen to Cameo and a lot of funk bands, and my mom would listen to, like, Lionel Richie and Wham and just, you know, as many different varying groups, the Doobie Brothers, and that sort of combination of music literally spawned my venture in music and probably a lot of my confusion when I first started on creatively. But that was really how my childhood was, is that, you know, being in each household, we'll go see my mom sometimes on the weekends. When I was at school, I'd be with my dad. It was just two varying tastes of music. But what it all had in common was that it was all soulful. It was all heartfelt music. And I think that that transferred to not only just who I was as a musician, but definitely who I was as a human being. It just made me well balanced and appreciate, you know, many different walks of life, I'd say.
Interesting. So when you were young, what was your first kind of instrument? Did you start off singing? Did you how did that get started?
Funny thing about it is that I never was really creating music at a young age. You know, I didn't really start to, because, you know, I'm a rapper and a producer, but I never had any formal training. Matter of fact, the only musical training that I had was in middle school. I played the trumpet and I hated it. The idea of music theory, the mathematics involved in music theory, I was more an English student myself. So mathematics was something that I just really wasn't, it wasn't my favorite subject. And it's crazy because my dad, you know, ended up becoming a teacher, now professor, but he was a teacher in math.
Oh, wow.
You can imagine his confusion and frustration with me. And, you know, so really my only sort of introduction with music was when I was in it was like the introductory band. But even before that, I guess now looking further into it, and something that I included actually in my book, is that with my mom, with her actually playing the piano for over like 30 plus years now,
wow.
With her playing the piano, I basically was every single Sunday I was in somebody's church and she was playing. She was the guest, sort of a choir director or a pianist. And she would play, you know, the piano, the organ, and I would just pay attention to how she led the choir. And then I would pay attention to the drummer and how he would add these rolls after every four or eight loops. And it's really the reason why my music as a producer sounds the way it does, because, you know, I was inspired by all of these different experiences, just like anybody else. But I was inspired by these experiences and they really molded who I am.
Mm-hmm. So you were really immersed, basically. You were just completely immersed in music, it sounds like, from family. And just it sounds like you were just constantly surrounded by musicians and music, that type of thing.
Absolutely. Whether I had a choice to do it or not.
Right.
This just really was a byproduct of, you know, my pops would listen to music every single morning. If it wasn't like talk radio, he would listen to music every morning. You know, going to work when he took me to school, and he would listen to music when he was working out. And my mother, of course, playing the piano, and she would listen to music cleaning up the house or cooking dinner or cooking breakfast. It was just music was always an extra family member in our families. You know, and I just adopted it from family member to really close friend to, you know, at times it was a distant cousin. And then, you know, I consumed a relationship that is still ongoing to this day with music that, you know, has brought me many, many great experiences.
That's amazing. I love that. So can you walk us through kind of the beginnings of you starting out and what that was like?
So in the very beginning, I became a rapper by accident. Okay? I became a rapper because of a bet. My best friend Keaton, he asked me one time, we were in high school, he asked me one time after school, he said, man, you ever thought about rapping? And in my mind, I was like, rapping? Like, no, like, what are you talking about rapping? Like, I've never even thought about rapping. You know, I had written poetry before, and I told him that, and he was like, well, you know what, I'm gonna get off the phone with you in 30 minutes, write a verse to the best of your ability, we'll jump back on the phone, and then after we jump back on the phone, you know, we'll kind of see what we have. And, you know, as you can expect, that first verse was horrid. It was horrible. It was random lines that it referenced everything from, like, the TV show Blue's Clues to Red Bull energy drinks. Just anything that I thought was, like, my life, because I wasn't going to rap about something that I wasn't living. It was just that was my life as a 17, 16-year-old. And it transitioned into something more serious. The more we did it, the more we liked the idea of expressing ourselves through an art form. And for me, I grew up not really being the center of attention all the time. I was really a quiet kid growing up. And then I kind of came out my shell the more I did music. And it became an expression where it was like, look, I have this 3 minutes to basically tell you a story. And the kid that used to be ignored or, you know, kind of pushed off to the side had an opportunity to tell you a story. And you would listen to it if the beat was great, if the lyrics and the tone sound like it matched, you would listen. And that was appealing to me. But there wasn't enough. You know, my friend and I made the commitment. We said, you know what, if we're going to do this, we got to put family at the forefront. We knew that at a very young age. That you got to use your why is your fuel for why you get things done, right? So you got to make sure that fuel is hopefully not 87. You know, you want to get the more expensive gas And for us, the family was the fuel. That transitioned from, okay, we're rappers, we need beats. So we started asking around our classmates. And at the time, you know, it's ironic because I didn't know about the business at the time, but the business that I am in today, which is called the beat licensing / leasing business, there was kids that were selling beats for $300 just to basically rent the beat, and then other people would have, you know, access to it. And we couldn't afford that. So then, you know, by chance, we were going to go pick up a game called NBA 2K3. It was on Sega Dreamcast. We were going to pick that up. And by chance, I went to this used game section, which was the PlayStation used game section, and I found this game called MTV Music Generator for the PlayStation. And basically, you could create music on the PlayStation. And I was like, well, this is intriguing. Maybe I should look into it. Long story short, bought the game, took it home. I fell in love with the process, and I ended up becoming the producer of our group. And that, therefore, spawned sort of my producer/rapper career. It started on the PlayStation, and it literally transition to, you know, what I use today, which is FL Studio, still use today. It spawned my career off at a very young age.
Wow. And that's completely ingenious, because I've never heard that road of like looking. And it's interesting, too, because you basically went off this sort of well-traveled path, right? Everybody's buying beats from these guys that are selling it. I mean, I'm sure they thought, well, $300, shit, it must be a really good beat, right? And here you are, you say, you know what, I'm going to actually like go off the beaten path and like look in a completely different direction. And I'm sure that's contributed a lot to your success, right? Not going the same way as everybody else.
I appreciate that, but I really wish I could give myself more credit at 17. I really didn't know what the hell I was doing. I literally went to what was called Electronic Boutique, before it became GameStop. It was Electronic Boutique, and we weren't going in there looking for that game. Like, literally, we were looking for answers. We had our antennas up, but I was going through that game looking probably for a Tomb Raider or Crash Bandicoot, right? And then I happened to see a huge double-disc jewel case that, you know, even when I saw it, I was like, God, the idea of making beats on a PlayStation, how cheesy can that sound? And then I looked at the back, and it said, you know, music-making program for house, techno, and hip-hop, and that's what drew me in. You know, at the time, I didn't realize that this was going to start the tradition of me going against the grain, but I can't even give myself that much credit in the beginning. In the beginning, I was just literally saying, look, we need answers. We got to do something, and this is intriguing enough for me to take home and try it out. It could have very well been too frustrating. I could have threw away the manual and said, I'm never making beats on a PlayStation again. And, you know, you got to understand, it wasn't just my buddy and I that had doubts. Imagine explaining to your father, who is pursuing his doctorate, that you think that you sitting on this PlayStation making beats on a 15-inch Zenith TV is going to one day make you a decent living instead of going to college, instead of doing all the things that, you know, you traditionally do. It's a really self-doubting process that, even though I went against the grain, it wasn't really strategic. It was really out of to be completely honest with you, desperation. And just trying to figure out, look, okay, how can we get our own original music? Because at the time, you know, I was illegally downloading, just like a lot of people, downloading my beats off of Napster.
Right.
Find instruments by 50 Cent, Wu-Tang Clan that were like DJ mixes or whatnot. Finding these instrumentals. But what we noticed was that when my buddy and I would rap and put these on CDs, we would share them with other rappers, and the rappers had the same exact beats. Why?
Yeah.
Because we all had access to Napster.
Right.
So a lot of that was out of desperation. You know, as much as I would like to give myself the credit and say, oh, yeah, we were ahead of our time, I had no idea that that game would change the next 15 years of my life.
Yeah, but what I would say to that, like, I hear you and I see what you're saying, but at the same time, like, I could see myself using that as an excuse to procrastinate and be like, well, you know, I can't afford to buy, you know, this is too risky. This isn't going to work, and I better just wait and save up some money so I can like go to a real professional beats maker, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm just seeing it from a different point of view that, yeah, it may have been born of desperation, but the fact is that you pursued it and you worked at it, and it wasn't, you didn't let the self-doubt kind of take over.
Well, I'll tell you this, in retrospect, the way I view it, and I think that's, I appreciate you, you know, even taking on that point of view forward. I'll tell you this, when I look at it, the lesson that I learned from it is that when your enthusiasm is more than your fear or your doubt, you'll get whatever done that you want to get done. You'll get it done. You'll just basically, you'll go through with it, because our enthusiasm to have our own original music that nobody else had. The first beats that I was making on there, oh my gosh, like I have a CD full of them. That I have a CD full of beats that I found recently, and it spawned another YouTube series that I do called Beat Making Haters, where basically we listen to our first beat. Me and a couple of my producer friends will listen to one of our first beats, and then we'll get clowned on, and then we'll redeem ourselves with a newer beat. But I listen to these, and it's like the friend of mine that inspired me to keep going, he is a saint. Keaton, he is a saint. Because if not for him telling me, like, you know, it sounds video gamey, you know, sometimes it even sounds borderline cheesy, but I think you got it. That was all I needed to keep on pushing. Because, you know, mind you, I didn't have a clean signal to get my music from my PlayStation to my computer. I literally had to buy this Radio Shack microphone that was used for operator headsets, right? I used that to record it off my Zenith TV, which didn't have a strong bass signal. So you're listening to beats that literally sound like somebody put a telephone up to a TV and recorded them, and then we're rapping over them. And then we're trying to... But my excitement, you know, I got to tell you, my excitement did supersede my fear. And because of that, you know, it led me to be more curious each step of the way. Because, you know, the more I started working on my first beat, the sillier I felt. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so, what am I doing? Like, what is this sound? What am I? But the more curious I became, the more excited I was about the process, it definitely helped. One thing I'd like to add to that too is that one of the most brilliant marketing minds that I ever came across was a teacher named Professor Morgan that I met in college. And something that he told me was that planes, when planes go from one destination to the other, whether they're going from like Los Angeles to New York, they never fly in straight lines. They purposely go off the path so that they can see how off the path they are, so they can get right back on path. Mm-hmm, so basically, planes get misdirected. And the lesson he was trying to teach us is that failure is literally a prerequisite to your success. You need to fail sometimes to see how far off the line you are. And so every time I made another beat, I was like, well, you know what? This is not the greatest in the world, but at least I have something to judge off of instead of my imagination. And I think that's what you're alluding to when you say, well, some people just kind of procrastinate and never get it done. Well, my curiosity was, you know, sometimes it bit me in the butt. Most times it got me to doing things that I never thought I'd do before.
Wow, that's so great. So now you're in college. So tell me about that and where that led you.
So I took two ventures into college. The first one was because my dad sat me down, and him being, you know, a teacher at USC, he wasn't having me sitting around the house making beats on a PlayStation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So he had a long talk, and him being, you know, it's funny because he's a psychology major, so he really knows how to nail into whatever arguments you think he has. I think in a past lifetime he was an attorney. My father he's just the greatest asset. But due to his argument, I said, you know what? Okay, all right, cool. He said, you either need to work full time or you need to go ahead and go to school. And I understood that it was from a place of love, even though this was my dream to do this. And so I went to a college called Cerritos College. And the first time I went there, you know, all the classes were full by the time I got there in terms of the classes you need to graduate. So I started taking a bunch of electives. I ran an elective marathon. And I took like an intro to radio class, and I took a stand-up comedy class, which was probably one of the greatest classes I've ever been a part of. And because of this, you know, I took this ideology of making college work for me. So when I took this from, oddly enough, from Kanye West's College Dropout album, which was around the same time it came out. And there was an interview where he was getting all kind of flack for saying, you know, telling people to drop out of college. And he was saying that that was not his goal. His intention was for people to say, you know, I'm not going to go to college, rack up all this debt and get nothing out of it. He's saying, don't go get pimped by college. Basically, go in there and get it for everything that you need from it so that you can, you know, attain whatever dreams that you have. Mm-hmm. So me as a rapper, okay, well, what can I get from college? A rapper and a producer, what can I get from college is going to help me? So the intro to radio actually helped me learn mixing a little bit better because, you know, when you're doing podcasts, anything, you need to know, you know, a little something about just levels and EQing, and so I learned that from there. Stand-up comedy helped me become more of a of an extrovert and less of an introvert on stage. I took a speech interpretation class so that when I was reading my lyrics off my paper, you would never know that I'm reading, because it taught you to take 3 and 4 words at a time so that you that you basically can interpret it in a very natural tone. Now, that was my first foray. It didn't necessarily work out, and I ended up getting out of there and going working full-time at my sandwich job at Quiznos. But my mom had a different approach. She was less, sort of psychology major, and more so, I want to see you succeed in the thing that you love, but go to school and get some tutelage. I went to school, and I wanted to go to OCC, Orange Coast College, for their music degree. Ended up going there for a marketing certificate, because once again, the music classes were full. And so I took this advertising principles class, introduction to marketing. And I just found a whole nother passion aside from my music and into marketing and advertisement. And that was what I used to really push my career, especially early in the early days on MySpace. It really helped me. So that's where my journey into college made sense for my career, because I took classes that made me excite and made me feel like, okay, this is actually going to help me. Taking an introduction to small business, this is going to help me, because I'm literally a small business as a producer and rapper who's an independent rapper and producer.
Yeah, I want you to talk a little bit more about the marketing thing, because I think what's happening, especially now, and, obviously, Curtish, once again, you were ahead of the curve, because, I think a lot of artists are now realizing, and definitely some artists I've interviewed, is that, it's got to be DIY now. Like, you can't rely on a label to do all your footwork, to do all your promoting, to do all your hustling. And, that if truly you've got to know how to market yourself, how to promote yourself, et cetera. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the thing that I needed for me as a rapper producer, because when producers and rappers hear certain terms, and I speak for them specifically because I know them so well, when they hear these terms, they get so scared, because they feel like, okay, this is a field that I mean, I'm an artist. All I can do is my art. Not realizing that the field of marketing is an art. The field of business is an art form too. Doing certain deals requires a certain finesse that approaching a verse requires. So I needed a professor like Professor Morgan at Orange Coast College to basically break down for me, marketing is literally, how do I make my message the most clear to the people that need to hear it the most? And when he did that, I said, oh my God, Mark, that's what I have to do as a musician. I have to make music and lyrics that make my message very clear to people who need to hear my message. So as I started to find the different, the different similarities between the fields, the more I fell in love with it, the same way I fell in love with music. And so as I started to learn different, marketing techniques and approaches, and, how to make sure that, he gave us examples like when you're working in retail, the question you ask when you approach, like, say you're working in retail and you approach a customer, a potential customer, you never ask them a question that they can answer with a yes or no. You want to ask them a question that causes some sort of conversation. So if you come to them and say, can I help you with that? No, I'm good. You have no kind of conversation. So I'm trying to remember the example he would use, approaching that situation from the mindset of, it's escaping me right now, but if people understand that concept, just look for a question that does not promote a yes or a no. Something else I learned from that as well is that he would tell us certain advertising techniques that, helped me stand out on MySpace. So he would give an example about a business that would be in the yellow pages, and then he approached them and said, you know what? You want to stand out? Put your ad upside down. They were like, what do you mean put our ads upside down? Like, you and I get that now because we're able to look at it in retrospect, but that business, it was the first time that anybody in their area had did that. They were a plumbing company. Their business increased so dramatically just by putting the ad upside down, because it stood out amongst all the other ads in there that were, right side up. That mentality is what drove me to say, okay, on my MySpace page, how can I stand out amongst all these photos that people are seeing and previewing? Oh, well, I'm going to utilize the opportunity I have that MySpace gives me to make a GIF image, a moving image. And so I was one of the first musicians to really utilize it as a marketing tool, at least that I know of, as a marketing tool, and that made my followers go crazy. Made them go up crazy because looking amongst all these artists that are on a chart, and you see this one moving picture, you're at least intrigued enough to know, well, how did he do that and who is this? And that spiked my numbers like crazy. But that is a relationship that I have with marketing. When I realized that marketing is an art form, I started approaching things a lot differently. They're not just really boring words. And, you know, people, you know, make them out to be these boring, intimidating words, and they're not. It's really an art form. If you understand the finesse and the care and the amount of focus it requires, it's very similar to the focus it requires to write a verse or make a beat. You'll fall in love with it just as much as I do.
Wow, that's so powerful. So were you always, I mean, it sounds like you had this kind of laser focus. Was that always the case? Were you just like, literally like, this is where I'm going to be at in 5 years. I just have to do da, da, da. Like, how did that work?
Absolutely. Well, you know, in my mind, and this is where I tend to say things like, you know, maybe I'm off, or maybe, you know, it requires you to be a little bit crazy in order to make it in whatever you want to do, especially if it's something that's going to change your life dramatically. It's funny, Les Brown has a saying where he says, why do people go to jobs they don't like? Why do people, you know, build with people that, you know, that they really don't like? Or why do they do things knowing that they're known hell? And he says that most people prefer known hells than strange heavens.
Mm.
And it always stuck out. And I always said, you know what? I did not come into this life to live a comfortable life. And, you know, and this is not to down anybody that has a traditional 9-to-5. By all means, if you are happy, just like Gary Vee says, you already won the game. But I could not see myself, especially when I was working at my sandwich job, I could not see myself being happy with just, you know, I got a house and I got this, and, you know, I'm working at my job. And even when I worked at Starbucks for 3 days, I still didn't see, you know, this as being the long play. You know, I really felt in my heart of hearts, even as a young kid that was antisocial, I said, one day I'm going to crack out of this. I feel like one day I'm going to crack out of this, and I'm going to show all these people who doubted me and underestimated me and my intelligence that one day I'm going to do something monumental, but not just for the sake of my ego. I want to help people. I want to help people who are in my same position, who are too scared to take opportunity. People who, you know, feel like, well, who am I to make it? How can I make it? I'm too quiet. I'm shy. I'm reclusive. I wanted to become a voice for them. And then what I didn't realize is that the more I started speaking specifically to the producer community, the more I realized how introverted most of us are, right? Mm. We're by nature sitting in these very dark studios, you know, with headphones on and really being anti-social for hours at a time, sometimes not even getting, you know, the vitamins we need from sunlight. So it just makes us these very odd creatures. You know, when I noticed that, and I say that, you know, because I am one of those odd creatures, but I say that because, you know, when I saw that void, I knew from a very young age, I said, somehow, some way, and a lot of it comes, honestly, too, from pain, from dealing with people that I looked up to growing up, and then I would ask them, could they help me? Could they teach me something? And for them to say, nah, nobody taught me tough love, it's really a bigger issue that I have sometimes with hip-hop. When I got that, I said, you know what? If I ever get into a spot or a position of influence, I'm not going to act like them. Mm. It became a lifelong commitment, and it's still what I'm doing today. You know, my YouTube channel is literally built off the foundation of I'm not going to be like them. You know, it's a tragedy when I see producers that are legends in their own right for their accomplishments. You know, they talk so down and bad about young producers or young rappers, and I'm more like a middle-aged creative myself, so I'm right there in the middle. It breaks my heart when I see them criticize these young dudes, but then refuse to teach them because they said, nobody taught me tough love.
Yeah.
So I saw my opportunity and said, you know what? Somebody had to teach me. Thankfully, I had mentors along my journey. Not many, but I had mentors along my journey that gave me the opportunity and sat with me and said, you know what? I'm going to share this with you because sharing your value, and this goes for anybody, any walk of life, sharing your value makes you more valuable. And I think a lot of people have their mindset on, if I share my secrets, it makes more people basically replace me, and I'm no longer as valuable. But in the same stroke that Martha Stewart knows that if she shares with you her fried chicken recipe, if she gives you her pots, her pans, her cooking utensils, she'll even tell you what degrees to cook it at. She'll tell you how long to cook it. Why is it that she can do that for an entire career, her best dishes, and still be as powerful as she is? She goes to prison for years, comes back, and is more lucrative than before. You know, to me, I look at that and I say, the value that she has given to her audience makes it so that even if you take her best recipes and you open up a restaurant called Stewithina Marcina, you can never put her out of business because the more she gives, the more valuable she becomes. Mm. Right?
Yeah, I love that.
I look at that and I'm like, if more people really understood, especially specifically within hip hop, you know, we would see so many more lucrative stories of people who may not be a household name. Curtis King is not a household name, but I grew an audience online because I was the only one willing to sit down and just talk these concepts out. You know, how to make a mailing list, how to build your own music producer website, how to even work on FL Studio. Mind you, there's other people who are in the same field, like Game from a website called BusyWorks Beast TV. He was one of the only ones, one of the pioneers of this. And I said, why are more people not doing this? And you know what tipped me off to this? I don't want a long rant or whatnot, but what tipped me off to this was a podcast I listened to by John Lee Dumas. And he used to ask questions every episode. One of the questions he asked was, what is your streams of revenue? And mind you, he would talk to multimillionaire entrepreneurs from all over the world. I kid you not, 95% of them said that at least one of their streams of revenue was teaching. And I said, well, how is it that these entrepreneurs, these millionaires, have time to teach, but us, you know, rappers and accomplished producers, we don't have the time for that somehow? And it's not making sense. To me, it seems like we've been told a lie about, you know, the game is to be sold and not to be told. Well, I always say that was I always heard a pimp say that. There's a lot of things I don't have in common with a pimp. Things that I don't really want to attach myself to until I understand the source of where it comes from. And you know what happened was I sat down in front of my iPhone one day, and then I said, you know what? I want to share this contradiction in my genre. And the video that I released on my iPhone did like 60,000 views in less than 24 hours. I hadn't had a song, not a music video that was shot on the Red Cam or HD. I hadn't had any content that ever spiked that fast. So I did it again. Then I did it again. And eventually, I grew an audience that I never would have expected to have because I literally sat down there and I said, you know what? I'm going to share my value and I'm going to help guide these young producers and rappers and even older ones too who never got the opportunity to come in contact with the mentors I did. And it changed my life for the better.
Wow. Well, let me just back up a little bit because I want our audience to kind of hear a little bit more about your career trajectory. So maybe if we can back up from that, you know, that moment from MySpace to the iPhone.
Right.
You know, if you can just kind of give sort of a just, you know, kind of just a brief trajectory of how you got to that place, like after college, after throwing down your apron at Starbucks, like, you know, if you can just kind of walk us through that.
Well, I mean, for the most part of my career, you know, I'd say about 10 years of my career, I pretty much had the traditional struggle rapper, struggle producer story. You know, very early on, I had the opportunity to work with a rapper named Av Soul, who happened to, you know, be in the same neighborhood when I lived in a neighborhood called Carson, the city named Carson. He happened to live in the same neighborhood, and a friend of mine that I was recording with invited him to the studio. I loved his rapping. He was a fan of my production. We continued to build. It was before he signed to a label called Top Dog Entertainment. Now, when he signed there, because we had been working for so long, he said, you know what? Give me a CD full of your beats, about 20 of your beats, and then I'll let it float around the studio. And mind you, at this time, you know, TDE was only J-Rock, a guy named Kendrick Lamar. At the time, his name was K-Dot, and it was Av Soul. And so that CD ended up getting me my first quote-unquote placement, where one of the first songs you ever heard Kendrick Lamar and Av Soul rap on was over my beat, and I was on a project called Long Term. So as a producer, that really spawned the beginning of my career. As a rapper, you know, my production was always ahead of me as a rapper. What I mean by that is that I found a lot more success as a rapper before, I'm sorry, as a producer before a rapper. So I had the traditional struggle rap story. I was releasing relentless projects and trying to really get my name out there. And not until my production started getting into the realms of, like, you know, more Absol placements, there's a rapper named Glass of Malone and a legend named Mac 10 that I got a placement with. MERS, another legendary independent rapper, is another rapper I got placements with. And then eventually the skateboard company Vans, our apparel company Vans, and a video game called APB Reloaded did my career really start getting into the attention of a bigger audience. Mm-hmm. And so I had my traditional story, and not until I made the decision in about, because I started rapping about 2003, I had a pretty subpar career up until about 2011, when I made the decision where I said, you know what, I need to do something that's going to change the trajectory of my career. And I made a decision to campaign to be on one of the biggest independent hip hop festivals in the world at the time, called Pay Dues. Mm. So I campaigned for 96 days in a row, and I basically collected all my accomplishments up until then, which weren't huge accomplishments, but it showed that my work ethic was real. I even had videos where my mom talked about the dues she had to pay for me to be where I'm at. And it grabbed the attention of MERS, who was the founder of that. And after a 96-day campaign, they accepted me on there, and I got on there. That pushed me to another level because, mind you, I'm on a stage that, you know, the all-day festival that includes Wu-Tang Clan, it includes Odd Future, I believe, was on there, and just all these different huge names in our industry. Was Common on there that year? Nas was on there that year. Kendrick Lamar. It has put me in a greater place. And so from there, that transition just kept helping me out, like side by side. My production career would take off when I got another placement. Then my rap career would kind of follow closely behind because of that festival. And then MERS, 1 year, took me on tour. Me and a buddy of mine named Noah James took us on tour 2 months. 2 months straight, 52 cities, 25 states, went across the U.S. and came back home, and I was in debt. It's a whole other story now, but I was in debt, but at least the trajectory of my career was taking off. But then, you know, life, I say like this, the beginning of my career, the first 10 years before I got into this business that is called the beat leasing business, was a lot of struggle, was a lot of pain. Because I was pursuing these opportunities, hoping that somebody would give me a chance, or hoping that somebody would, you know, co-sign me and kind of put me in a better position instead of doing it myself and becoming independent. I came home and I was in debt, and not till some desperate situations happened that I get introduced to this other field. And I'll tell you like this, my pursuit of being rap stardom and my pursuit of being, you know, sort of a known famous producer, in 10 years, I accumulated less money than I accumulated in the first 2 months of going independent and deciding, you know what, I want to go into business for my own self. I want to become what I call a producer-nor, an entrepreneur slash producer. I made a chance. I took a chance when I was in humongous debt. And I tell you, within the first 2 months, I accumulated more income than I did in 10 years of pursuing fame in the traditional route of the industry. And it changed my life for the better. And that is where I am today. I know it was a long-winded answer. There's so many stories.
It's amazing. I love it. It's so good. It's so good. So Curtis, let's hear about it. Cause I mean, this is the new landscape of the industry. Chance the Rapper is just one of thousands that is basically like, it's, you're basically, you know, you're about 5-10 years ahead of your time, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about the motivation that drew you to do this independent pivot and, you know, where it's gotten you.
Well, I'll tell you like this. So when I got introduced to this business, where for the longest, this quote unquote beat leasing business was something that the people who are like respectable within the music industry, they look down upon it. Why is that? It's because rewind back to that story that I told you about the guy who wanted to rent me the beat for $300.
Yes.
This literally became the business that I got into, except since that time, the business had altered and changed. Instead of trying to basically rent this beat out to multiple artists for $300, now you do it for like $20 to $25 to $30. Mm-hmm. So tell the producers who are making, you know, oh my God, $10,000, $15,000 per beat. They look at that like you're crazy. Like, what do you mean renting a beat out? And for the longest, like a dummy, I listened to him because I figured, like, I don't want to do anything that's going to ruin my reputation in this industry, because your reputation is everything in the industry. Mm-hmm. But it took my life pushing my back against the wall. It took my life being in a position where it was like, what good is the fame if I feel like my notoriety and my career is like a jetpack flying in the air, and everybody's looking at me flying, but not knowing the jetpack is on E, right? But when it comes to the gas. And so I had to make a decision. And a buddy of mine named Awesome Beats, you know, I'm thankful for him because he introduced me to this business. And I reached out to him on a whim. And I think he was a bit surprised because I had so much success from a fame standpoint locally for my music. He was like, I had no idea that financially you were in such dire situation. But that was a reality. So taught me the business as much as he could, because I was living in an environment where I had to be out within a month. So I had to really generate income like I'd never had before in my life. I had never had a house or an apartment of my own at that point. And so he helped me. And in that first month, you know, it accumulated like up to about $2,000. And I had never seen that kind of money in my life. And it was $2,000 that was off the radar. I didn't have to go do any interviews. I didn't have to go be in any studios till 4 a.m. It happened from the comfort of my own home. And this is thanks to the internet, obviously. So with this business, for those who are not familiar with it, basically it works like this. You set up a website as a music producer, and you make your entire catalog of music available to the general public. They come visit your website. Your website is basically an e-commerce website where any rapper, anybody who's doing like TV placement or commercial, they can come visit your website, listen to your music, and they can lease it or license it for different license tiers or peer. I'm sorry, tiers. One of them being, if you just want the MP3, which is obviously the lowest quality, a Wave, which is a higher quality, and then the Wave / track out / MP3s, which is pretty much the whole shebang in terms of licensing. And each licensing term has its own right. Like, if you get a Wave license, then you're able to use the music for a music video, or the beach for a music video, or for a commercial. And so when I got introduced to this business, I was kind of trying to figure it out. But literally, this showed me this is the next step for producers who want to become entrepreneurs and become businessmen of their own, businessmen and women of their own, instead of waiting on the politics of the music industry. Like, there's times where you can get a placement right now, and this is not the artist's fault, but you can get a placement right now with, say, like a Chris Brown, right? He says, I love your beat, I want to use it. And you won't see any payment. You won't hear about the record sometimes for up to a year because of how long an album may take or how long the industry waits to pay out.
Yeah.
And the album comes out after a year. There are terms that say that you won't get your first payment until the next quarter, next quarter of that year, and then you finally get your payment. Can you imagine how much debt you accumulate within a year?
Yeah.
Better yet, a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, didn't make any sense to me, and dealing with a lot of famous rappers, a lot of, you know, egos, there's a lot of, they're used to being sort of courted and chased, and I just, that wasn't appealing to me anymore. I said, I have real bills, and if you guys are not helping me take care of even something as simple as the milk in the fridge, why am I doing this? Why am I chasing you all up to Los Angeles to work with you when I'm in some real financial hardship? It's my responsibility to do that, to get myself out of this hole. And I didn't initially understand that, but when I got into this, oh my gosh, it empowered me. It gave me back my manhood. It gave me back my pride, and it gave me an opportunity to say, you know what? I get to wake up every morning now, work on music, put it on the website, and I can sell it to anybody from California to Australia to Germany. I've sold to over, you know, 20 different countries doing this on a regular basis from the confines of my own home. And it takes me back to a Warren Buffett quote where he said, if you don't figure out how to make money when you're asleep, you will work until you die.
Yeah.
And so I took that on, and that decision has changed my life. But I'll tell you, really short, as great as all that was, there still came a point where I hit a block. I hit a wall, because it was like, here I am making this money, but there's something that's not fulfilling me. And it was a combination of reading a book by John David Mann and Bob Berg called The Go-Giver, and going to my first Tony Robbins seminar called Unleash the Power Within. That combination, it sparked something inside of me that I didn't even know existed. And that is why I do the work I do today, in terms of giving, in terms of thinking about the consumer first, thinking about the human being, the consumer. Stop looking at people as numbers and more as human beings and hearts, and how can I capture them from a very genuine standpoint. You know, I hit a roadblock and I got depressed even when the money came in. And not till I made that shift of giving value and sharing my information, that's what really legitimately changed my life.
Well, let's talk about that. We're kind of running short on time, but I love this. So so can you talk about YouTube and talk about your book and that type of thing?
The book that I created is called The Prosperous Hip Hop Producer. And I made a promise when I started to make this book, is that I would not tell any lies or holding any punches. I think one thing that my favorite rappers, not favorite, but the heroes I look up to, they kind of gloss over their most challenging stories. And I'll give you a little bit about it, but not enough to let you know that even they thought about quitting. You know, they were 3 feet away from gold and thought about just walking the other way and not digging anymore. And so I tell you these very, you know, very powerful, very hurtful, and then also very inspiring stories that took me from being on my grandmother's patio making beats on my PlayStation to now CurtisKingBeats.com, which is a six-figure business. And I was approached to do a book. I had never wrote a book in my life. I was approached by a publisher who said, look, I watched this video and I feel like you have a book inside of you and you need to write, and I would love to publish that for you. And sure enough, 2 years later, I completed it. The book is out. It's on Amazon right now, or even CurtisKingBeats.com/books. This is literally one of my most proudest masterpieces, in that it embodies the story. It tells you this journey, the stuff that we couldn't get to today. It tells you all these stories that led up to where I'm at today, and the importance of sharing your value. I don't care what it is that you do. I don't care if you're a plumber, you should be doing videos that tell people how to do their job even better, or techniques. And if you share your secrets and go about it the same way as the chefs do, you know, the Emeralds and the Gordon Ramsays, you know, they share their value on a regular basis, and it in turn makes them more valuable. That changed my life, because now here's an audience. I had tried my career to have a massive audience as a rapper and a producer, but honestly, not until I started sharing my value. It's just coming so easy now. Why? Because this is where I was supposed to be to begin with, but I had to go the journey I went first. So, you know, read the book, The Go-Giver. If you have an opportunity to consume individuals like Les Brown and Tony Robbins, you can even do it on YouTube, or even Grant Cardone and Gary Vee. They all offer their own brand of the same exact thing, the same message, which is, share your value, keep the needs of other people there first, and you will be able to accomplish whatever it is that you want to accomplish in this life.
And tell me the title of your book again.
Called The Prosperous Hip Hop Producer.
Okay. And then can you just talk a little bit about the YouTube channel?
Sure. So the YouTube channel is Curtis King, Curtis King with two S's, Curtis King TV. And basically it is a hub for not just entertainment, because I have like videos where doing these 10-minute canopy sample challenges, and these entertaining videos where I'm you know, I got my girlfriend reacting to some of my first songs and my most embarrassing music videos. But aside from that, the foundation of the channel is it's literally an almanac of independent rapper advice, independent producer advice. I started off making a series called Artist Marketing and then Producer Motivation 911. And, you know, I started off in 2015, and right now I think I've accumulated up to about 400 or 500 videos, where I literally just sit right in front of my studio setup And then I just share the information that is, as it comes to me, as I learn it. And you can go there and literally find, I'm pretty sure there is a video for whatever problem any rapper or producer, even like managers who manage rappers and producers, it helps to get this advice from somebody who understands the struggle mentally and emotionally that creatives go through. So, you know, it's crazy. I had somebody from Shady Records contact me yesterday about sending beats to a pretty known rapper, you know, out in the side. And he told me, he said, look, I'm not gonna lie to you. I've been a fan of your videos for the longest, not just your production, because I've been watching your videos to help me better manage my artists. Mm. So it's a resource. It's a resource, and I try to continue to do that. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I have these videos called Curspiration, where I literally take user-submitted questions or I address topics in our community and just really hit it head on. And I've been doing this for, you know, close to about 3 years now, and it's a resource. So Curtis King TV is where you want to go to for that.
Okay, that's great. And then tell them the website again.
Curtis King, with two S's, CurtisKingBeats.com.
Okay, perfect. Curtis, you have been amazing, and I'm like all energized and inspired now. Like, I'm going to go run out and do all this shit.
That's what I'm here for. I'm glad. Like I said, once again, thank you for the great opportunity. I'm always glad to be in front of people that, you know, I really feel are going to resonate with the message, because I don't think the general population knows how multi-layered and how much of a journey it is to be a rapper or producer. They just kind of fall for the memes and think it's one thing, but I really appreciate the opportunity and the amazing questions. So thank you.
So aren't you all like pumped up now and want to go out and conquer the world after listening to that interview? The poor guy, I like wouldn't let him off the phone after the interview. I was like peppering him with all these questions and how do I do this and what do I do this? So he was such a dear. He like stayed on the phone with me and like talked me down. Anyway, just to reiterate, okay, so his amazing YouTube channel, Curtis King TV, that's CurtisKing TV. His beats website is CurtisKingBeats.com. His book is called The Prosperous Hip-Hop Producer, which you can find on Amazon and I'm sure anywhere fine books are sold. So just, I don't miss out. This guy is just like catch a rising star, man. He is blowing up. So I'm very privileged that I got to catch him and have him on our podcast. So thus ends, I think we're on 15, right? Oh my goodness. Or 14. I don't know. I think it's 14 or 15 episodes. I should probably know that. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We can be found at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S podcast.com. We're also on the Twitter and the Instagram and the Facebook. So please like, subscribe, and share when you can. I am L Ariel, your host, and you can find my music and stuff on lariel music.com. That's lariel music.com. Have a blessed, wonderful week. I'll see you back here next week. And again, what are we going to do? We're going to keep on hustling. We're going to pursue that dream and don't give up.